Guardians of the Geekery, this is Starnes Lord, and welcome to episode 242. Our special guest this episode is April Rayner from Elon Homes. So please listen to the episode, learn all about them, and then also check out our Facebook Live video when we had the unboxing. Very cool, and that's over at Geek Gala on the Facebook page. And also, I believe we shared over to Guardians of the Geekery, of course, and Charlotte Geeks. And remember, folks, Geek Gala 2018 is coming up November 3rd, Saturday, November 3rd. All right, enjoy the episode and let us know what you think.
In the podcast room of the Geek Gala HQ, there are assembled Charlotte, North Carolina's four okayest geeks, created by the cosmic legends of their own mind. Starnes Lord, the Giddy Geeker, Carol the Cat, Tipples Tannenbaum. Their mission, to support local, to discuss all things geek, and to serve all fankind. They are the Guardians of the Geekery, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks.
Woohoo!
Woo! Guardians of the Geekery!
All right.
Woo. So we're here with April. Hi, April.
Hey.
Welcome.
Hey. So she just finished doing an unboxing video with me. We had so much fun.
It was very fun.
There was
Thank
cool
you so much.
Stuff. What was your favorite thing in the unboxing video?
I like the mermaid.
Wasn't that cute?
That was very cute.
So cute. So that was done by Cat Streaming. If you want to know what we were talking about, you should go back and watch the unboxing video. It's on our Facebook page for the Geek Gala. Just go there. There's a whole playlist of unboxing videos. Did you know that, Starnes Lord?
I watch them repeat. I just have them on repeat. I just keep going
Is
from one to another.
We have? He's like, there's my wife. I'm just going to keep watching her. No. It's not actually
it's
to
all
watch
the things
me. It's
I,
all those
it's,
stuff.
It's all the things I wish I could do, but I can't because I'm on the committee. So that
I
wouldn't
know.
Be fair at all.
No. Yeah, it's really kind of weird on the auction stuff because there's really cool stuff that comes through that I would love to buy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just would never want to prevent somebody from donating money to the Gala and to the Dave Thomas Foundation. And I would never want somebody to feel like they can't bid against me because I'm running the thing.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I just wouldn't want somebody to think that I was, you know. I don't know. That just seems unseemly, don't you think?
Yes. So
yeah. No, anybody else is fine. Like, we have volunteers on our team, and they want to buy tickets, and I'm fine with that. But I just feel like Starnes Lord and I being the heads of it
right.
should probably
Makes
not
sense, yeah.
do that.
I'll just keep watching the videos and going on Instagram and looking at all the pictures.
Yeah.
I love vicariously through everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Could you stop making this about you? Could you?
No.
Oh, okay. So, April, you actually work with Elon Homes.
Yes, I do.
And you and I met through Ryan,
yes.
who is part of the Wendy's community relations.
Yes.
And of course, Wendy's is behind Dave Thomas, was the one who founded the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
Absolutely.
So, so we got to meet. He was like, yes. you should know April. And I'm like, yes. So here you are.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Elon Homes and what it is and how it got started and how you got connected with it.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, Elon Homes was started in 1907 as an orphanage. Uh-huh. And so since then we have moved forward and now provide family foster care as well as transitional living services to support young adults who are transitioning out of foster care or DSS custody. I have been with the agency for 6 years and most recently advanced as program director of the residential facility.
Ooh.
So I oversee, yes, I oversee this wonderful new program that we have, which is a transitional living facility.
So there is a certain age where it becomes a little harder for kids to get adopted.
Absolutely.
And so when they... Unfortunately, as much as we'd love to find homes for everybody, and that's part of the reason why we do the Geek Gala is to raise awareness
Absolutely.
Of kids, both adoptive and foster kids, a lot of times if they age out, that first year can be a very impactful year.
Absolutely. And so North Carolina, in January of 2017, North Carolina implemented a new law called Foster Care 18 to 21. And so they created that program for the very reason that you speak of. It was an opportunity to allow our young men and women to who are aging out of foster care, who weren't able to be reunified with their families or adopted by families, to be able to successfully transition into adulthood. And so in order to be participate in the program, our young adults only have to work 80 hours a month, be enrolled, be enrolled in education, or participate in an activity that prevents the barrier to unemployment or education, or have a diagnosed mental health or physical disability that prevents them from being able to work or participate in education. And so what that does is it sets them up for success. They're able to participate in the program from age 18 until 21. Wow. So that gives them a few years in order to kind of figure some things out. And they also get a monthly stipend of $634 as well.
Oh.
Which, you know, $634 is not going to, you know, roll your bankroll.
Absolutely.
But it's going to help defray a lot of the costs.
It will help. Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly.
And it allows some of these kids who normally would, at 18, be told, thanks for playing.
Right.
Have a nice day. A chance to go on to college and go on to community college.
Absolutely.
And do what they, you know, and actually be able to pursue and break out of the cycle.
Absolutely. And so Elon Holmes, upon realizing that the state was unveiling this new law, thought it would be a great opportunity to go back into residential services. So what we did was created what's called the Village in order to provide safe housing for these young adults that are transitioning out. Our current program serves males. And then this January, we plan to open to begin serving females.
Oh, and that's so, amazing.
Thank you. I'm so excited about it. And so what we did is currently, with the program, our young people are able to choose their own housing, where they get to live. So our facility is a placement option. But the unique thing that we provide is guided support. So they still receive case management. They still have caring adults that work with them to help them on their education or employment goal. And we also have 24-hour supervision, just always a supportive adult there in case of emergencies to answer any questions that they may have, but just to really help them as they navigate this thing called life. And one of the things that we found, we opened in August of last year. So we just celebrated 1 year of being open.
Happy birthday! Happy anniversary!
And we're so excited about that. And we're also located on a campus of Johnson C. Smith University.
Oh, great.
So we have a great partnership with the university, and they live uptown Charlotte. Have a beautiful view of the city from their front door of where they live. So that is, you know, those are some of the benefits of them living there. But more importantly, they are not having to face the challenges of life by themselves. We are there to guide them, to support them, to help them understand the requirements of being adults. We partner with Thompson's Family Services right here in Charlotte to provide individual and group counseling. We're working with community adult males to provide mentors for our young men, as well as some of the students at Johnson C. Smith as well, so that they can be paired with young adult mentors similar in age to them who are attending college, so that they understand that's also possible for them too. And while I understand that it's not always feasible for most people to go to college, we invite community guests and organizations to come in weekly to meet with them, to share about but community resources available that will help them navigate life. So trade schools and everything. So everything we do is around providing life skills and education and training. So financial literacy, education, employment, how to fill out a job application, how to obtain their driver's license, of course. That's a big thing that we're working to help them do. Obtaining their state ID. If they lose their driver's license, if they lose their social security card, their birth certificate, where do they go in order to achieve, you know, to obtain that? So every aspect of what a young adult needs to know between the ages of 17 and a half and 20, we're there to support them with that.
Which is vital.
Absolutely.
I can't tell you how many times I called home to my mom when I was first out on my own.
Absolutely.
At an 18, 19, 20 year old. And if I couldn't reach my mom, quite frankly, I called the next door neighbor that I grew up with and be, Mrs. Westgate, how do you cook corn on the cob? I can't remember. You know, and weird stuff like that. It's like I looked all through the Betty Crocker cookbook and I can't figure out how to cook this hamburger.
Absolutely.
It doesn't tell you. It tells you fancy stuff. I need basics. Like, how do I boil water without it burning? So, yeah. So that's and having you there and having a team there to be there for them and be their Mrs. Westgate or their next door neighbor that says, okay, this is how you navigate this road. And, you know, or, hey, we'll find out together, that's but at least you're not alone doing
this. That's great. That's the biggest thing is to make sure they know they don't have to be alone. Helping them establish a team of committed, caring adults is what we do as far as making sure that they know that. So, we create a family environment. Last night, we had an event and they were talking about, you know, how they consider themselves brothers, you know, having each other's back, looking out for them. And that's what it's about, to develop friendships, long-standing friendships, and so that once they successfully transition out of our program, they're able to return and give back to other young men that are coming through the program. Of course, that's our ultimate goal, so that they can talk about how much it was a success to them and help them meet their goals.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, because I remember in college, I was, you know, even at like 21, I was like, I turned to my resident, you know, my RA, my resident advisor, and be like, hey, I need some help with something. I just got to talk to somebody that's around my same age.
Absolutely.
Just listen to me. And
right.
Like, I need some guidance.
That's right.
And this sounds really, yeah.
Well, and, you know, some of the dangers, and, you know, I know from working with Children's Home Society, some of the statistics they used to quote, and I'm hoping that some of this has changed, but I know that at one point, you know, one of the dangers, especially for young women, was that once they aged out of the system, there was a concern that they were still trying to establish that feeling of family. And so at one point, the statistic was that 75% of them within their first year may have ended up with a pregnancy.
Absolutely.
Just trying to have somebody to be with. And I know that the same thing that, you know, they also had a program where it was working with young men and talking about taking responsibility and thinking through the actions that they take. Because again, I think, you know, they get out on their own. And certainly you and I, as people who went on our own at a similar age, just kind of, you've got to have somebody that just says, hey, I know that sounds like a great idea, but let's just talk this through for
absolutely,
a half a sec.
Absolutely.
So I know certainly, you know, in my 30s, when I went through my divorce, I was like, oh, okay, let's not just run into any of this stuff. So I can only imagine at 18 or 19 being in that similar situation.
Absolutely.
So how did you first get started with Elon Homes? What attracted you to joining that group?
I have over 15 years of experience in human services and just a desire to work with young people to impact them, to make a difference. And I mean, I've worked as a program coordinator with them. I've worked as a licensing coordinator, helping to recruit and train our foster parents. Something that I really enjoy doing, you know, interacting with those families that we were placed in young children with. And so this unique opportunity presented itself. And after supervising the foster care agency for a number of years, it was time to move forward and give this a shot. And, you know, it has come full circle. I mean, it's something I truly enjoy doing. I love the connection that I have with these young men. I love that they are comfortable with me to talk about what's going on with their lives and trusting me to help them make decisions that will impact their future. Because our ultimate goal is to reduce the rate of incarceration, homelessness, the unplanned pregnancies that you speak of. You know, we want to be there to really help our young people, you know, and really trying to get them to understand, looking at aging out of foster care as a positive and not as a negative. You know, despite your past circumstance, you just got to work hard and in order to be your best selves and not let that dictate your future or prevent you from having a successful future. And so some of the unique things we do are, you know, the weekly house meetings, which is mandatory. But we allow our young people to talk to us and share their concerns and establishing a self-governance where they get to provide feedback. You know, they have a say in young men that maybe have discharged unsuccessfully and they want to come back. We hear from our young people. We get their input on it because this is their house. We want them to feel comfortable. We want them to be safe. And then, you know, learn skills such as participate in cleaning and chores and doing things like that. The same things that we all have to do as adults maintaining our own houses, we also want to teach them so that they are too are prepared to successfully transition into their own home.
I was so surprised to find out that, you know, clothes don't wash themselves. You actually have to do that. You and if you don't clean the toilet, bad things happen.
Absolutely.
And if you don't pay the light bill, guess what? The lights go away.
That's right.
It's amazing. So what are some ways that people who want to support your journey with young people? What are some things that people can do to either get involved or support? What kind of things do you need?
Okay. Well, we have an agency wish list of things that we collect. One of the things that we do is our program is set up as dorm style living. So we're located on a college campus, but our facility is structured as a dorm. So when you walk in, that's the feel that you get. Oh. So oftentimes, as we have prepared to go off to college, I have family there to help me to collect my toiletry items and all the things that I needed as a young adult headed off to college. But that's not the case with our foster youth or youth that are aging out of DSS custody. So when they move into our program, we gift them a basket with toiletry items, snacks, just a way to say welcome to our program, shower shoes, things that they may need. Their rooms are already fully furnished. It's set up and structured just like a dorm room. They have a desk, chair so that they can do their work. They have, you know, of course, a bed and all this good stuff, closet, plenty of storage space, but we are there to basically help them get anything we need. We find that we spend a lot of time buying business casual attire for them to be interview ready, you know, for getting those jobs.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's what we do. We meet them where they are, find out what things that they, what is it that they need. And so those are some of the items that are on our wish list. Of course, you're talking about young adults. So we are preparing for Christmas. And so having worked on the foster care side, it was always fun to, have corporate sponsors or community sponsors donate Christmas gifts to our young kids. And then we would have a big Christmas party with someone would come with Santa and he would give out candy bags and we would have a DJ and we would dance and party. Well, it's kind of different when you've got young men between the ages of 18 and 20. So now it's about figuring out what is beneficial for them. And so even in that case, they don't want toys, you know, so we ask them to, you know, create wish lists according to their top items. And so asking for gift cards for them because they like to shop for themselves. And so what we do is include their hobbies and things of that nature. We are also always looking for volunteers to come in and work with these young men. They honestly are there all the time. They're not hanging out in the streets. They enjoy having people come and hang with them. Wow. We have a lot of games there for them, for groups to come in and play board games with them. Holidays are also really, really important because these are young adults that unfortunately may not always have a home to go to for the holidays. So we have been working with church groups and different other organizations that have been preparing Thanksgiving and Christmas meals, coming in to spend the day with them, bringing gifts, bringing games, just the fellowship, so that they don't become sad. You know, if they think about, you know, what may have happened that has caused them to be in foster care and so that they don't feel unloved, but just making sure that we surround them with as much love and joy as possible. So those are some of the things. And then we're also currently fundraising to open our second phase in order to take females in January. So next month, we will have a big fundraising gala. And I'll be happy to share some more information with that.
Absolutely.
If you don't mind sharing to your listeners as well. But because what we found is, you know, the need is so great for our females as well as our males. And so we want to be able to provide housing for both our men and women here in Charlotte. And another great thing thing about our program is we get to work with young people all over the state of North Carolina, not just Charlotte and surrounding counties. So that's also a huge benefit for us, as well as being able to connect to those young people. So it's almost like going off to college and being able to say, you know, well, what happens when you turn 18? I'm moving to Charlotte. And so they get to, you know, move to Charlotte and start a new life and, you know, enjoy the opportunities that Charlotte has to offer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So if somebody wanted to, if somebody was listening to this and maybe they're in the foster care system or they're aging out of it, what would they need to do to find out more about this program?
Wonderful. All they would need to do is contact me, April Rainer. They can call me. My number is 704-688-2954. Again, 704-688-2954. They can also shoot me an email. April is my first name, .Rainer, spelled R-A-I-N-E-R, at Elon, E-L-O-N, Holmes, with an S, H-O-M-E-S, .org. That's April.Rainer at ElonHolmes.org.
And then you can walk them through the process of how to become part of that program.
Absolutely. I can help navigate them to confirming if they meet the eligibility requirements in order to get into the program. I'll ask them, you know, who their DSS, their DSS worker or last DSS worker was, and then schedule a tour for them to come, because I find that that's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. Foster care youth are always growing up, are always told where they're going to live and what school they're going to go to. They normally don't have a voice in making decisions about themselves. And so now what we do is teach them to be advocates for themselves. So I feel that it's important for them to come and tour our facility so that they can make an informed decision and say, this is where I want to be. Not because they don't have to live with us, but I want them to be here because they want to be. And I feel like them coming to tour our facility, because it's a beautiful, beautiful facility. We've had some great support from our community to make it a really, really nice place. And so it speaks for itself. And so I want them to come in, see it, and say, I want to be here. What do I need to do?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
And so do you have a story maybe you can tell about somebody who, as a result of the program, was able to change? I'm sure you have thousands, and I've put you on the spot and like worst interviewer ever to just throw it at you.
No. One thing I will say is I'm very passionate about what I do. I love my job. I love making a difference with these young men and being able to connect with them. And just last night, we participated in a private fundraiser event at someone's house. And I took four young men with me. And so they had an opportunity to introduce themselves, and what I thought they would just introduce themselves, say their name, their age, and sit down. And then we would have a question and answer segment where the audience could ask them some questions and they would respond. But instead, the shyest one that I didn't expect to talk says, as I start to introduce them, he says, "It's okay, Miss April, I got it from here." And he stands up and he talks about how much the program has helped him. And he talks about how much he enjoys our staff and how he knows that we care about him and want the best for him. And it was very, I mean, I almost became emotional because I didn't expect it. And so he shook one of the other residents' hands, and he stood up and he shared his story, and they all did it one by one. And it was a beautiful, beautiful moment. They socialized and interacted so, so well. I mean, it was really touching. And then the gentleman who starred at his GAL, his guardian ad litem, was present, and she spoke about having known him since he was 11 years old, and how she used to be so worried about him as he was approaching his 18th birthday. And since him with him being in our program for a full year, she doesn't have to worry about him anymore. She's seen his maturity, she's seen his growth, and now she's learning how to step back to allow him to be the young adult that he's growing into. That's pretty powerful. And I think it speaks volume to the work that we're doing. Still very new in our program, but again, working day in and day out tirelessly to make a difference in the lives of these young people so that they understand and believe that we care about them and are not just, you know, doing this for a paycheck, but because we really care about them and we want them to be successful and have great futures because it's in all of them. They just got to work hard and do it and know that they're not alone in this process.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So my little sister was 9 years old when she was adopted. And back then, and this is in Massachusetts, not North Carolina, they didn't have any kind of programs to tell foster and adoptive families what to expect once a child joined your home.
Right.
And with the best intentions, I'm sure the DSS system up there would always tell the kids, you know, you'll always be taken care of. But they missed it because she never learned how to take care of herself. And I was very close to my sister. I loved her dearly. But one of her biggest challenges later in life was just the fact that she wasn't always successful after, you know, she'd get through that 90-day waiting period of a job. Yep. And she'd get to that point where it was going to be permanent and she'd get overexcited and she'd start telling them about the doctor's appointment she was going to take and the vacation and all this kind of stuff. And she would just, you know, every time I turned around, we were trying to find her a place to live and trying to establish because she never got these life skills. So from a personal standpoint, I certainly understand the importance of, you know, I think there's an inherent knowledge if you grow up in a home where you have supportive parents and have a certain expectation of care. But, you know, my mom and dad were always like, you have to learn how to make your own bed and you have to learn how to do all this stuff. And but you having that to fall back on. And I think for my parents, because my brothers and I were almost grown by the time she came to live with us, that they forgot. I mean, not in a bad way. I don't think my parents did anything purposeful.
Right.
But it's that, you know, there are some life skills you just have to instill in somebody. And there's a sense of you have the ability to take care of your own life. And I think that that definitely impacted her later on. And even though when she served in the military and all that, you know, she needed that person to tell her what to do next. And I think what was really powerful was when you were talking about, you know, the fact that in the foster care, you know, they tell you where you're going to live. They tell you where you're going to go to school, all those things that you said. And so that when those decisions were made for Christina, she didn't know how to handle that.
Right.
And I think a program like yours, even though she was living in an adoptive home, would have been powerful for her to assist her with that. So definitely I can see the value in a huge way. And I appreciate the fact that you are willing to be part of a program like that.
Because
I hate that we need a foster system.
Absolutely.
And you know, and again, it's like you were talking about, it didn't start off, you know, you started off as an orphanage, but 9 times out of 10, most of these kids are not necessarily orphans.
Right.
They're just had to be taken out of an environment where the adults around them could not take care of them in the way they needed to be taken care of. And one of the dangers can often be that when they get to that age, they're now they can interact with those adults that they were previously, you know, protected from, and may start learning those habits that those adults had. So breaking that cycle and being able to change that direction and change that path, I think it's a huge decision making time for people.
That's right.
18 to 22 is just as scary as like the 2s to the 4s, right? You know, it's that walk, talk, crawl thing, but it's in a whole new way.
That's right.
So we thank you for doing that.
Thank you for really having me.
Yeah. And we would love to have you bring the kids back sometime, maybe after January when you're getting ready to do the grand opening.
We'll
we can talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely.
And definitely get us those lists because we'll put those up on the website and share that with our group and see if we can't start helping you.
Thank you so very much.
No, thank you, April. Thank you, appreciate you coming out.
Thank you.
Starnslord, did I hog the mic? Did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, I'm just so moved by what you do. So I appreciate it.
Thank you so very much.
Yeah. So definitely check out Elon Homes. If you need help, April is the girl to talk to. And if you want to help, April's still the girl to talk to. So make sure to check that out and come on and support. You know, we always talk about supporting local. And it's not just about supporting businesses. It's talking about some of these services that help us build the community that we want to have in the future. Right. I mean, if ever there was a time where we want to support our people and make sure that the community is a place that we can all enjoy in the future, now's the time. And if you can't empower those kids to make the right choices and get the skills and the help and the support that they need, then, you know, we have only ourselves to blame, right?
Absolutely.
So spin this on the positive. Let's do the right thing and support local. But again, thank you, April.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Guardians of the Geekery. Find us on the web at guardiansofthegeekery.com and everywhere fine podcasts are found. Support the Charlotte Geeks at patreon.com/charlottegeeks. Tune in next time for another exciting adventure on Guardians of the Geekery.